Yeah, what is up, everybody's feelings? Andrew Tate got banned today, so we're going to be talking about Andrew Tate-isms a little bit. We're going to be talking about boys and girls and whether there's a difference and whether they should have gender roles or not. And this is all opinion, so if you everybody can feel free to disagree, agree, whatever, make their comments known. I don't care. I'm right kind of no matter what, so I'm not worried about it. But, do you want to start with something specific, you feel like?
Well, we could talk about what we just found out, like literally, 2 minutes ago, is that Andrew Tate was banned off of Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
So, what do you know about him?
Black belt in kickboxing, 3-time world champ, more than a millionaire. He probably makes 2 to 10 million a year.
You kind of know who he is a little
bit. Yeah. So, no, I've seen a lot of interviews with him. I've heard a lot of his opinions about things. I don't disagree with a lot of his opinions. Probably 80% I don't disagree with. Probably 80% I don't disagree with. So.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, yeah, exactly. I was just saying to Ross today, it's like, well, I don't think when I was looking at his stuff, I don't think that I should not have the right to drive because I'm a woman, which I think he's said like we shouldn't drive, but you know, a lot of the other stuff I don't disagree. And some of the stuff he says I'm pretty on board with, especially the thing about women, because now women, they're so unhappy.
Yeah,
women that are millennials that are moving into becoming like their later early 40s, and that starts menopause and things like that, they're reflecting on their life and they're seeing that, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. I chose career. I chose the master's program, or, you know, left a good man to do so,
right,
to become this, the single motherhood that everybody's just lifting up to make it seem like it's just the best thing in the world.
Right.
And these women,
it's a scam.
Right. And these women are unhappy. They're writing blogs. They're, writing blogs, magazine articles, everything you can think of. And they're so unhappy and they're like, I should have started a family. I'm 40 and childless, help. And I'm desperately just trying to take any man at this point. And then before, what's that?
This is the gimbal. I'm just going to set it up for this thing to look a little better. Okay. Guys, it's super informal tonight. We're just having fun.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. We just did this on a whim anyway.
Right.
We were like, let's go for it.
Chilling.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, if I think about it myself, there's a few things that provide value to your life. One of those
is children. That's right.
Children. I have 3 kids.
Excuse me. Yeah, 3 kids.
I got 3 kids. I love my life. It's a great life.
How did you feel that it changed your wife having kids from how you knew
her
before?
Well, she was a teacher before.
Okay,
kind of dropped out of the teaching thing and started with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was, everything was better. I don't know how to set this thing up the right way, but it'll be okay.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want it to be crooked.
Yeah. Oops.
It's like, we don't know how to act because we're a dumb gimbal. Oh, you know what? I think I could do this.
We're making the poor people on Instagram sick. Yeah,
sorry,
sick.
Everybody.
Making them sick. Ooh, I got you.
It's okay. It's only $1 billion, probably. So. You touched the wire. I'm going to do it like this, because who cares? The camera's good. All right, there we go. We'll put you guys there. We'll talk here. It's all good. What up, TikTok? What up, Instagram? What up, YouTube and Twitter and everywhere else? So, yeah. So we have three kids. Mm-hmm. My wife came alive as soon as we had kids. It was kind of like, me and her both say it's the most important things in our life. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly believe in gender roles myself. I'm a full-blown believer in complementarianism. So
I
believe that genders complement each other. Different gender roles complement each other.
Now I have a question.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time when you guys were contemplating doing what modern people are doing now, which is mom goes to work all day and your children are with a babysitter or a daycare? Did that conversation, or was there any not a
yeah
headbutting,
we
but-
thought about it we thought because she was a teacher when we first got together,
right?
And but as soon as I started making serious money enough to be able to support a family, I was like, all right, we're done with that. Like, let's get you home. And she was like, oh, my God, this is my dream. I just didn't want to say it.
OK. All right. These are conversations that people are having, because in the media is pushing us women to go out and yeah, you sure you can have your family, but make sure you have that master's and you still want to go to work all day. You want to leave your kid with kinder care or another government subsidized daycare or something like that. And you work all day, like 10 hours you'll be gone because of commute at least. And then you're 8.5 hours. And then I don't know. And then you want to keep advancing too. Did you know we have programs that you can get your master's and be a mom and work and just keep busy, except for have more children,
except
have
for
more
being
time.
More engaged with your kids,
right.
Except for teaching them fundamental, intentional daily values where you interact with them with a certain amount of grace and love that the teachers could never have for them.
Right.
Including the amount of time that teachers won't
have
for them.
Teachers are trying.
Yeah. I'm not
they
saying
really
teachers
are
all evil. Although today I would say there's like 30% that I would never let even have a conversation with my kids. But the ones that aren't that way are still good, but they simply can't handle 30 kids at one time. Not to mention
it's too much
changing every hour and a half for bells and different blocks and stuff like that. At the end of the day, you got a teacher that's got 124 kids. There's no way your kid's getting individual attention, and you don't want the state running your kids anyway.
Right. Right.
And so me and Erica, we looked at all the different, you know, options that were out there. And we came to the conclusion that I want her to be a stay-at-home mom. She wanted herself to be a stay-at-home mom.
Good.
And that I was going to go make the money, that she was going to stay home and cook and clean and take care of the kids and do laundry and look pretty. And
she's gorgeous.
And try to take care of the house. And I like our arrangement. Honestly, I don't think I'd have it any other way. And it makes me better. It makes me want to be like, I have to be a better man. I have to be stronger. I have to go make sure that I'm making six figures. I have to make sure that I'm.
That's a great, you know,
just all of it. When you're dependent on as a male, it causes you to bloom. And when you are needed for your compassion as a woman, it causes you to bloom in that. It's I really appreciate gender roles.
You know what? That was really good. The way you said that. Like, I've never thought about it like that, because there are statistics that show that married men financially do better than single men. It's just a statistic. And same thing goes for the high earning women. They're married. So there's got to be something that's successful about that. And the way you just said that what did you say? It made you
makes
bloom.
You bloom.
Like, that's a really good way of putting it. It pushes you to be a better.
I have to be the best. I have to come home. I have to make sure that my wife doesn't have to worry about stuff, you know, as far as financially or whatever. And if that ever gets tough, like, I'm hard on myself,
right?
You know, and whereas if we were both working, it would almost be like, we'll both kind of chill and take care of it. I'm not saying that's wrong.
No, if it works, it works.
If it works,
please.
But I just think that there is something to be said for a man should lead a household. I think that biblically speaking, I think it's a Christian point of view, obviously.
Right.
But by leading, it's not the leading that the world has taught you that the patriarchy is trying to do. The leading that it's supposed to be is so soft and kind and gentle and stern and consistent and trustworthy that it causes you to surrender rather than it forces you to surrender by force. It's almost like he did and this isn't specific, but like he did the thing before I asked that I was going to be worried about. Now, it's not necessarily that's always the case because you have to grow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I still leave dishes in the sink today. So like, get off me about that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is were you a trustworthy, like at the end of the day, a woman leaves her family, her father, before governments got involved and told you can do whatever you want. A woman would leave her father and her mother and she would cling to her husband. Well, for what? What would he have to provide? Well, everything that her parents were providing.
Yeah.
Which was leadership, finances, clarity, decision-making as far as where things are going, how we're going to get there.
And now we wag our finger at that. We wag our finger at a woman staying home with the parents until, you know, a good amount of time or like you said, until there's that transition to becoming under a man. No, they say, no, girl, you need to go live the Sex and the City life. That's the way that I personally see it is it's everybody wanting to live this Sex in the City life. And perhaps it does work for some people, but
yeah, work until you're 40.
Right.
You know, and then when you're 40 and you've lived in the Sex and City life and your ovaries are in the elephant graveyard from Lion King, you know, and you're like, what can I reproduce anything with my life?
Right.
In the, like, even as a male, if I didn't have kids, you have to understand kids demand that you become better. Why? Because you realize the value of innocence. And so if you realize the value of innocence, everything bad and good that you've learned, you eat all of the meat and the bones in your life for the 30 years that you get. And then when you have kids, you spit out only the meat. And so it demands that you cycle through everything that you've been through, learn what was beneficial, learn how to filter what you should and shouldn't do because of wisdom and time. Mm-hmm. And then you give that gold to your children. If you don't have children, then you're under the urgency of primarily culture and government. That's basically what it is. But when you have children, there is a higher priority level that comes into play besides culture and government. And it is, I have to protect X, Y, and Z. I have to make sure.
Family unit.
The family unit. And so when you are loyal.
You guys are your own culture and government inside your house.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes. And when you are loyal above and beyond to, in my opinion, God first, which causes you to be loyal to your family second, it is a self-regulating behavioral filtering system. Because you don't want
self-sustaining. Excuse me.
Yeah, self-sustaining. Yeah. It causes you to you can't act out of sorts. Well, why can't you? Because my kids are watching, and I want them to be successful. And it's unsuccessful for me to drink every night in front of them, right? It's unsuccessful for me to be 335 pounds in front of them, so I have to lose weight. You know what I mean? It's unsuccessful for me. Why? Because you might not care about you, but you will care about them. And so it demands a higher caliber of response to conviction that you may otherwise pacify in the regular world because you demand a better version of yourself for your kids. And so the whole world matures because of it. And I think
that's a great, wow. That's, you really said some good bangers. You said some bangers.
Some bangers. Already. Well,
for
I think
like
and
the
and
way
I,
that you say it, I try to, I can see it. I can see it in successful families. But as a woman, I don't know how to explain how it makes a man better. I just know that the statistics tell me that men who do take that role and they do this the traditional way with maybe a little few deviations as we progress in the millennia to come. But, you know, it works. So I don't understand why we're trying to go against something that doesn't work. But anyway, but as far as like explaining it, how do I explain why it works for a man's part? I know how it works for a woman's part, but I don't know how to put it how a man would put it. And you're right, it pushes you to be better. That's why they're always grinding and they're always like on top of it.
I have to go create. I have to go solve the problems of the world because my kids have to live here. My wife has to live here.
Right.
The earth can't go to shit. It can't. You know, and so when you don't have kids and you're not married, you don't have that conviction. You're just existing. You know, and so I don't know. I look at that and I'm so thankful for women though, because they bring, when they're in their right role and they're not acting out of independence that's unhealthy and government initiated.
So what do you mean independence that's unhealthy? What would you define as an unhealthy independence? I kind of am picturing the same woman, maybe?
So now we're talking about, now everybody doesn't have the same upbringing. Everybody doesn't have the same thing, but I'm just going to talk in generalities, okay?
Right. This is all general.
Yeah. So there is a role that you occupy as a woman that you occupied in your household before you were married to your father. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Now, contingent on how well your father treated you and how well you treated him, that carries on into your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so you either have to recreate the right kind of habits and boundaries and stuff like that inside of a marriage. Or you have to continue what you were doing inside of a marriage, right?
You know what? That makes sense in the way that you think about these older cultures where the daughter takes her brother's plate or serves her brothers and her father first, and the women do their roles as they're coming up in the household. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and that's, like you said, they practice with their father has it's not just that, expectations from the woman or in that role as well. And when the daughter's at home, she is practicing that via her father and the other men in her life and being guided by the mother.
Yeah.
So they kind of practice if you really think about it.
Yeah. So for everybody that's watching right now, you can watch this on YouTube right now. Look for Ross Da Boss. It's the same name, but there's no 2.0 or anything. You can come to YouTube and watch this stream live right now. So, but okay. Say that again. Say that last sentence again. Okay. Well, so I'll just say this. There is women invite a softness to men that make them. Have you ever noticed when you watch old movies and when you read up on knights, when knights were fighting?
Okay.
If one of them knocks off the other one's helmet.
Okay.
Right. And there's a pause. What does the one who still has a helmet do?
The little. Oh, okay.
He takes it off to make it even. Right. If your shield gets destroyed in a fight and I've got a shield still, right? As long as it's an honorable fight.
Okay.
I drop my shield so it's sword on sword, right?
Okay. Kind of like, so, I'm going to beat you fair and square. Right?
Well, it's kind of like the rules of engagement, right?
Okay.
Vulnerability begets vulnerability.
Okay.
So inside of healthy relationships, when you are a woman who is soft and pleasant and docile and hopeful, if you have a man who is worth his weight in gold and he is around that for long enough, and you don't have those bitter, backbiting, independent mindsets and things like that, mm-hmm. it demands that he, when he realized he was too heavy-handed because he actually delights in you and likes you, it causes him to, I'm not saying in discipline, but I'm saying in arguments, right. in conversation,
I know what you've been,
and stuff like that, in battle, right, of trying to figure things out.
Like
when you're soft and sweet and angelic, like my wife is, it demands that I go, oh,
wait,
I just smushed a butterfly.
Yeah. That's a great way. Damn.
You know, and so because if you attempted to come at me with strength, I'm going to destroy you.
Right. Like with an attitude.
Yeah. If you come at me with the mouth, I'm going to destroy you because I'm used to the battlefield of people being controversial. I'm used to the battlefield of men trying to approach me with controversy. So you're going to get these hands too in that way, ideologically. Yeah. Right. Well, so, but there is a component that softens men. That when a woman is her best self, in my personal opinion, you know, completely subjective personal opinion, I find that there is a maturing that happens where the man has to reflect, almost like when you slap a puppy. You thought it was appropriate, and then as soon as you do it, you're like, oh no, You know what I'm saying? And it, what does it demand? It demands you grow up. And how do you grow up?
Okay.
You have to grow up with compassion, with kindness, okay, with tenderness, you know, and then with strength too, you know, so that you can provide for that puppy in a way.
I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, I see what you're saying. It giving you more self-control as well. So yeah, maturing you, because that's usually
if you're open to it, you know, it comes in waves and it's not perfect, you know, for me anyway. No.
Yeah, I don't think for anyone it is. Anyone who pretends that they have this perfect relationship is lying to you. So all these Instagram people, Instagram couples that you see that are so happy, they're normal. They're just like you and me. Like, they have problems. They fight. They, you know.
Probably more than us.
Probably, you know.
Honestly.
That's actually, I look have a pretty at Johnny healthy... Depp and Amber Heard. We're sitting here thinking there's beautiful couples, the rich, so much money, everything's perfect. And it wasn't. It was beyond not perfect. I want to say effed up, but it was effed up. It was beyond effed up what was happening behind closed doors in that relationship. So everyone has the regular problems. So,
yeah, I mean,
you got to give each other grace.
And I think, obviously the government is attempting to usurp the role from men as leaders of their household. That's why they want men and women separated for as long as possible.
That's what I think they're doing to the Black community.
That's what they've done to the Black community. That's why there's a 70% chance of kids having no father.
Yeah, they purposely push out masculine, heterosexual Black men out of the home. They don't 100%. Want those. They're fine with flamboyance and on the spectrum of the flag, the rainbow flag or whatever. But no, the masculine Black males, like, they just, I that's what I believe.
Somebody said women are just more emotionally mature. I don't know about that.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Who lied to you? No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that men are just attempting to accomplish things, and women are attempting to accomplish the right setting for things. I think men are generally attempting to accomplish things.
Okay,
and women
like physical things.
Yeah, we're attempting to accomplish feats, organizations, endeavors.
Right.
You're trying to accomplish a task. And women are attempting to accomplish the setting in which tasks take place.
Right.
They care about the setting, the emotional setting, the whatever.
A tone, a text message taken a wrong way with the wrong emoji. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's important. We have our place because we catch things that not a lot of other people catch. Like,
right, and that's the body language. That's the manicuring, right? Like, if I'm your dad and I'm going, hey, we got to get in the football game. Let's go get your head on. We told you to be here by 4:00.
Right.
It's 4:15. You're late. Get your shit together. That means, oh my God, I have got to get stuff together or I'm not accepted. And then your mother comes along and goes, now hurry up now. I put your cleats in the thing. And you're like, okay,
everything's
okay. The pressure's still there. I must perform better. I must be more efficient, but I'm not alone in the process. And it's like a group effort. And there is this herding effect that parents in this way, where mothers are more in tune with the compassionate components that are necessary for a kid, and fathers are in tune with the more necessary components, where there is a group effort. And that's why I so thoroughly believe in men and women together having to raise a child. That if they're alone, without a father, without a mother, there is a serious amount of neglect that happens there. And whether that's, and some people think that, like, the damage that's done to you from a parent or people that have emotional wounds and stuff is because of stuff that was done that was incorrect to them, like wrong things were said to them and stuff. But there's the wounds of neglect where nothing was said to you.
Like omission of whatever.
Yeah, the omission of engagement. Like, the dad didn't even care that you were late to the thing. The dad didn't even have a conversation with you about this, or the mom didn't even pull you aside and say, hey, you look great, or something like that. Like, the sins of omission and the wounds of omission are just as bad.
And so this pushing of having single parent households, like, it's glamorized. It's glamorized, in my opinion. I don't remember when I was younger, that wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing that it was glamorized to be a single mother. It was like, it was shameful to, you didn't want that. You wanted at least a boyfriend.
It is shameful. To be a single parent is shameful. That means that child is growing up in a form of neglect. Even if it's from a divorced home, hear me out. Even if it's from a divorced home, this is my opinion. That means that the biological mother and the biological father that are hardwired, if appropriately organized mentally and emotionally to the child, they are only getting 50% of the time with that child to help them cultivate themselves as they normally would have been.
Okay. Are you against no-fault divorce?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've heard of Kevin Samuels, right?
Yes.
He was definitely against that, too.
Yeah.
But, did you see a statistic? 75 to 80% of women are the ones initiating divorces, and they're citing the, what is the term called? Irreconcilable differences. Differences, right? Is that the word?
Sure.
Where you don't have to give an, like there's adultery, there's, you know, other stuff that you can cite and that a judge would grant it to you back in the day. If you didn't have anything on that list, you couldn't just say, meh, I don't know.
I'm getting bored with you.
It was a joke. We went to Vegas. It was a joke. Can I get that back? They'd be like, no, it's marriage is serious. It was taken very seriously. But they now had no fault divorces and here we are. But I see where he came from on that, because sometimes I look at it like, well, why would that be a bad thing? I'm talking about Kevin Samuels saying that no fault divorce was a bad idea. And I asked myself why. And when he laid it out, that's what he would say. He would say that that's what a woman could do, or start getting interested in another man and think I can snag him if I just didn't have the husband and just divorce because you found someone new. That the courts used to make you work on your marriage. Now we're like encourage people to do it. The courts used to make you work on your marriage. But I see a lot of horrible situations that did come from that too. So
sure,
you know.
Well, look, I'm not saying that every single marriage should be stayed in. Mm-hmm. There is absolute times abuse,
yes,
sexual abuse, physical abuse, you know. Other types of legitimate abuse. I'm not talking about where you're getting in arguments and you're feeling stupid afterwards. So you're like, this is verbal abuse. It's like, dude, I think we need to grow a little bit thicker skin. It, honestly, in life, you know, everything's a safe space nowadays. But like,
speaking of that, that is so funny that you said that. Did you see the other day, Beyonce came out with a song and it had the word, you know, when somebody says, I'm a spaz out, like they're going to go crazy about something. This happened to Lizzo too, actually a couple weeks before that. They had to completely change these newly released songs because spaz is offensive to handicapped people with cerebral palsy. I'm not even joking. I wish I was.
Like we're Look talking about them. Like anybody was thinking the handicapped guy who's spazzing. No, we're talking about a person who's having a conniption fit in the old Southern slang. That's- which means you're flipping out about something. But look, here, people believe, here's the problem that's happened in culture. People have exchanged infatuation for commitment, where they Explain. Want the emotional infatuation of being in love.
Like lust, the lust.
Yeah, the butterflies, stage. The honeymoon phase butterflies mm-hmm. is the reason I got married. I fell in love. It was uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Well, that means that you can fall out of love later on when you're not feeling it and it's uncontrollable. So I have a very serious talk when I used to bring young guys out of jail and they would start talking
That's
right.
to me. What did you used to do?
Well, so I used to pull guys, 17 to 23 year olds out of prison, and we would bring them out to our farm and we would train them for 9 months. And then the judge would drop their felonies if they completed our program.
So you did counseling.
And yeah, I did. I did independent mentorship is a better way to say it.
Addicts,
yeah,
all kinds of people.
Yeah, addicts, thieves, people that come for, you know, their parents were injecting them with meth at 5 years old. I mean, you name it.
Lord.
And
anyway, sorry.
Well, so I would give them the talk, you know, as soon as they were going to graduate or if they were starting to think about women more often. You know, I would give them the talk about you need to be trying to pick somebody who has, you know, basically, here's my steps. Okay.
Okay.
If you're looking for a spouse, this is what you look for. Are they generally attractive to you? Like, or do you find them cute? They don't have to be dead freaking sexy. Okay. That's a little bit of a high standard. Okay. Dead sexy 10 is that'd be awesome if they're there, but you just need somebody that is always at their worst still above a 5 to you so that you're still sexually attracted to them. That's a good rule. At their worst, they're still like a 5, right? So like sweatpants and everything, yeah. No makeup, like you're still a 5 to me. Like I'd still kiss you. You know what I'm saying? And if you're there,
I got you.
You can't really get much worse, right? So it's anything above a 5 is up and great, right? The second thing I told guys to look for was, did she like kids? Because a good way to tell if somebody's selfless is if they like kids, because there's no reason to like kids if you're selfish. They get in the way of you getting attention, right? So Do they like kids? Do they do dishes? Do they do chores and stuff when nobody's looking? When nobody's looking, were they doing stuff, right? That's another thing. Do they say sorry and it not be weird? That was another thing. And then can you have fun with them? Can they laugh at themselves and not take themselves too seriously, right? And if you've got all of those things, it's a good guess that they might work with you. But the primary component that you looked for was compassion. If you had an abnormal amount of compassion for a person, it was usually a good sign that you could marry them and treat them well for a long time, because you don't want to smush the butterfly, right? So it demands better from you. So compassion is actually a great indicator of whether a person could be your spouse or not.
Interesting.
So I would walk them through that. And I read this book called Should I Get Married? And it really helped me kind of like lay all this out. And I was ruthless with my fiance, with my girlfriend at the time, who's my wife of almost 8 years now. I was ruthless because I didn't want to make a bad decision. So I was like, are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? Are you sure you don't mind this? Like, tell me now, because I don't want to ask this again later on.
That's good, though, that you did that. I think that's good.
Yeah, well, it worked out great, because I came into the marriage, instead of at a 10 of infatuation, like, oh, my God, I came in at a 6 going, this is great. I'm sure.
Like, go team.
Yeah, like, go team. Yeah. We'll figure this out.
We're going to do
There's a reason arranged like a marriages like, yeah. work significantly more often than chosen marriages, right? Imagine somebody sets you up and said, your ancestral wealth depends on your relationship with this person we just brought you. You would go, well, hi.
Listen, we're going to keep all this money, right?
Yeah, I don't want to flip. I don't want to mess this up,
like,
dude.
Like, hey. Like,
you know?
Yeah,
And so there's...
It was duty. It's duty.
It's duty. Literally. And then after duty comes delight. Then you start to go, but you are attractive.
That's what you are kind and loving. Kevin Samuel said too, marry them, then get to know them. That's what he would say. Because he said the same thing that you're saying. He said arranged marriages work so much better because of some of the things you were citing. And yeah, that's exactly what he would tell people. Like, don't worry about it. You can get your rest of your life to know each other. Like, get married, do the thing. No, it's your duty. And if you guys fit where those duties fall, kind of how you said it. But yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. And you're right. The arranged marriages seem to be like popping.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, even if you marry somebody that you are, oh my God, we are kin spirit entirely right now. Everything about us is just zen and lines up our values, our goals, our ambitions.
You have an air sign. I'm a water sign. It just goes together.
The horoscopes are telling us that like everything's divine.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Guess what? In 10 years, you are going to go through ups, downs, disappointments, wins, losses, and you will be a different human being than you are right now. And so will they. And if you married because you happened to get along wonderfully at one time, and that was the basis for your marriage, then you will lose that basis for the marriage 10 years from now when you're both different people. So it has to be a higher standard than we happen to get along well and everything aligns.
What do you think then? What is your opinion on what do you think a woman should be looking for as far as that goes then?
From a male?
Yeah, like trying to find this person that you can grow with, but kind of fits together. Because it also, we can really say that women are making bad choices too. Maybe the high divorce rate is because of bad choices that we're making.
Because what is it? 70% of women are the ones who
initiate. It's like 75. I think 75. It's closer to 80. If I'm being.
So we'll say 75.
Let's call 75 to be
75%
nice,
of divorces are initiated by women.
By women.
Okay, so what was your question?
What should the women be looking for in a partner that would potentially be a spouse?
Well, the first thing, which is just legitimate, is strength. And that's interpersonal strength. Well, so here's the question. Admiration. Okay. Men desire respect above everything else, and you desire to be following someone that you respect.
Okay.
So admiration is one of the primary. So men can look at who they want to marry and see if they have compassion for them. Women can do the same thing, but another thing for women to look for is, do you admire them?
Okay.
And so admire like means, do I look up to you? Okay. Do I look at you and go, okay, they know what they're doing. Whether that's their social cues, whether that's their
now this would be maturity. For young women, perhaps. Yes. But
look, young women should be marrying older men.
Right, I agree with that. But yeah. What about older? I think older women looking for potential men whose dating pool is shrinking maybe would have to compromise on what would you think as far as, because a lot of times that's connected to monetary value. What you're talking about, admiration, is connected to monetary value these days.
Okay, maybe let me change up, because it's not about monetary value. You do want that.
That's
you
how
do
women want, are is, putting it now. Is yeah. that the only way I'm going to look up to you is if you're a six-figure man. If you're not a six-figure man, women are saying that I don't have to look up to you. That's the basic gist of what I'm getting from what I'm hearing on all these podcasts, everything that you can think of. It's connected to monetary value, but you're saying it's something else.
Well, so that's part of it. You know, I'm not saying
right,
that. And look, the fact of the matter is this. Every woman is not a five and above.
No.
Every man is not a five and above. Threes can marry threes and you'll be totally freaking fine eating spaghetti in the middle of a trailer park in the middle of whatever. And both of you are 442 pounds. And that's okay. Yep. Like, that is okay. That's a life you can do you. Okay. You get the right to do you. I'm not saying you should do that, because you should want to leave your mark on the world in the best way possible. And that means you need to be here for longer. And that means you need to challenge yourself to be successful so that the culture around you is propelled to do great things because you're doing great things and challenging yourself and not letting yourself off the hook in these different elements. Like, everybody should try to strive to be their best self, because it creates a better culture and it creates a better world. And the best feelings, the deepest loves, the deepest gratitudes, the highest emotions come from the deepest, hardest things that you've had to do in your life. So you should always be trying to challenge yourself to do hard things. Okay. So with that said,
going back to
with that said,
women finding
women should be looking for men who are honest, who are honest with their progress, who are attempting to strive to make progress in their life, and who have conviction, and they do what they should do when nobody's looking. And what I mean by should is specifically morally, they do what they should do when nobody's looking.
Okay.
You know, honestly, now I hate to say this because so many men struggle with it, but like, I really think that like a woman should look at a guy's browser history and determine if he's looking at porn before she decides to date him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, well, because it's,
yeah,
because it's such an unhealthy rubric for a man to keep in his mind. It's like having having poison in your water source.
In today's climate, not the climate, but today's dating climate, porn seems to be very normalized, and that's fine if he has the girl on girl in his browser or whatever like that. So what do you say to that? Because it's very
well
normalized.
If I'm talking to Christians, then I'm gonna say biblical stuff and
of
go
course.
You know, whatever. But if I'm talking to just Americans, that's, you didn't earn that. You didn't earn the orgasm. You didn't earn that woman. You didn't earn, that's a fake. It's almost like it's just fake. The best thing you can do in your life is get dopamine from things that you actually earn, because it creates a cycle of you working hard to get something, getting it, and going, yes, I can do this again. And then the whole world gets better because you did it. If you cheat the system and get dopamine easily, which is what they want you to do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Then, you know, cause how you telling me that you could go bang a 10 right now? And she would bend over and be like, hit me, daddy.
That's what they're saying about like social media addiction and everything. You're right. That dopamine hit.
Yeah. Like you couldn't earn that. Like, what? Like, why do you think you're worth that? You so know like, what I'm saying? Yep. Like, and like, here's what I mean. Like, I mean, look, I'm okay. So forget the word browser history, right? Like, everybody struggles, I suppose. But like, if you're a believer and you want your husband to be a believer, you should be asking him about porn before you ever get married. If you're not a believer, you should be asking about other stuff too, though.
Well, most Christians get counseled, correct, on their road to marriage?
Yeah, most Christians get counseled about like all types of stuff, like what's sin, what's not sin. Like a lot of people don't even know that pornography is technically biblically a sin.
Yeah.
You know?
For he who has lust in his heart has already...
committed fornication, right? Yeah, it's like if you're looking at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery.
He studied theology, so he knows like all these things.
When I got married to my wife, I did my best and still do my best to go like other women literally don't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, and by that I mean like they don't exist to me sexually. Like you could literally be a 10, and I'll notice. I'll be like, wow,
right?
You know, but I won't be like, wow. I'll be like, wow, off limits. I'm happy. You know, I'm at home. This is the only place. The only place I can drink water is here. I've never done anything with any other women. I've done stuff with one woman, my wife. And you know how beneficial that is to me to never compare ever? Any experience I have with her is golden because I have nothing to compare it to. You know what I'm saying? And so when you have that rubric in a relationship, it helps set the standard for this is my well. This is the only place I get sexual gratification.
Yeah, you know what? When you put it like that, too, there was a porn star. I think you have to beep that out on YouTube. There was a porn star that I was watching the other day. I did a video on her. They used to call her Superhead. She basically is saying that. Yeah, you can guess why, right? She's basically saying this. I'm trying to remember the whole thing. Basically that no, she was talking about Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan. That, oh, you should want her after she's had a lot of guys to practice with because then she'll be really good in bed. You don't want a girl that hasn't had anyone or only one or two guys. She was making it more palatable to have a woman with more bodies, as it's called, like more bodies on her roster. And I think that's more of a recipe for disaster, I guess, for disappointment in that sense, too.
Yeah.
Because if you're only with each other, the few people, then that's who you learn from and you can develop your relationship. But no, it's now they push for people to have many bodies, to have practice because you want to be good. This is how they sell it. And they've been selling like this for like the early 2000s, mid 2005, like somewhere around there. They've been selling it like this. You want to be good for your man. You want to be experienced. You want him to be woman, don't you want to make your future husband happy? That's how they sell it to you. Do you want to, make your future husband happy? Go and have more sex with more guys. Okay?
Ask any man if he wants a virgin when he gets married or if he wants a girl who's been around the block. 80% of men are going to go, I would like a girl. First, they feel bad for even saying that they actually want that because they know that they're such a little whore. You know,
right.
They're like, I've been around. Like, I don't know if that's fair. Right. But for me, I literally wasn't willing. There was girls that tried to date me before I married Erica. Now, I knew Erica from a long time ago and she was married before me. But there was a huge scenario that happened that full of abuse and stuff like that, that made it completely okay for her to leave that situation. And I didn't push that. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know her during that time. Or didn't engage with her at all during that time. So it was whatever. But what was I just saying?
With being with inexperienced versus very experienced.
Right. Okay.
Partners.
So there was other girls when I was
and
just dating
women to do it,
that. Yeah. When I found out they had been with other men, I immediately stopped engaging with them. And that was just my own standard. I know how much I worth. I know I'm going to be making millions of dollars one day. I know that where I'm going is important. I don't need the extra headache of, in my opinion, a woman who is sexually loose in that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't want that. I didn't devalue. I didn't even let them hold my hand. Not kidding.
Really?
I was on a date and a girl tried to hold my hand and I hadn't got, it was like the fourth date or something. And we were just talking and I was still like, do you qualify?
Right.
Do you qualify to be near me? Cause I know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like, I wanted to make sure I had the right mate to not waste my time. And I remember she kind of snatched my hand one day and it bugged me, you know? And so I pulled my hand away. And I was like, no, I'm not cool with that. Like, I'm not ready for that yet. You know, type of thing.
Yeah, people don't wait anymore for the touching part and the physical part. Nobody waits anymore. They everybody jumps to physicality, and now they're championing more physicality with people, and especially for women. I just think it's, I don't know, like this. No, I can't say this. It'll be too nasty. No, I can't say it.
Say it in what?
Okay. Okay. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please. The cum comes out of the man. The cum goes into you. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. What's the point? What do you mean?
You're the cum dumpster. The cum doesn't ever go into a man if he's promiscuous. Nothing goes into him.
Oh, I see. I see.
Do you
yes.
see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that's like a physical thing. But like at the end of the day,
I'm sorry.
Women of value, even in nature, women of value are selective with who they breed with. Right? That's the key.
Right. They try to even trap basketball players and football players and stuff like that.
Yeah, like you're selective with who you breed with, even in nature. You know, so it is the opposite of what nature and biology says the majority of the time, to be entirely open to everything.
Right.
Because the first thing that's going to happen in the wild, if you did that, is they're going to kill all your babies and then kill your old guy that was doing stuff with you. And they're going to become the only one. So, but like, I'll say this though. We can watch an Andrew Tate video in a minute if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Just to
no,
kind of talk.
I'm kind of like loving our conversation.
But you know, one of the things that seems to be true is loyalty is the highest value that a woman has, in my opinion.
Okay.
Her loyalty is one of the high, obviously beauty.
Right.
And
I
then
think you're right.
Secondarily, loyalty.
Right.
Because you can be beautiful, but if you're not loyal, nobody wants you.
And not just that, when I've read things that said when the loyalty is tested, when you kind of go through some kind of bumpy times too, like where it's like you're not where
yes.
you want to be yet. And it's a little rough, but hey, like ride or die to a point. You know, like you said,
yeah.
you should already be doing your part as a man and doing your best to get there.
Well, like me and my wife, we struggle sometimes, you know, in the past 4 years, we've struggled financially while I'm transitioning careers and stuff like that. And for her to hold down the fort and not to give up, you know, it makes me all the while, literally my brain, as soon as I start making the money that I know I'm going to be making in the next 2-3 years, as soon as it happens, she's getting a horse.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that.
She's getting a horse.
Yeah.
We're getting the farm. We're getting the ranch. All of it. I'm building all of it. For me, no. You could put me in a cardboard box with AC,
that's
Netflix,
true.
And ramen, and hot sauce, and I'm content.
Yeah.
But if you give me a loyal woman like I've got,
yeah.
and you let me go capture the world, guess who's getting everything when I get everything? Her.
Yep.
My wife. She's going to get it all. I'm going to go, this was for you. I went and got the head of the bear and I brought him to your table.
Right.
What do you want next?
No, I heard someone else say that we built this world so you can be, and he was talking about women. This is a man talking about women. So y'all can be comfortable. We built it for you. We're fine with living in a cabin in the woods by
yeah.
ourselves, hunting elk like Joe Rogan or something like
that. Yeah, we literally
like
don't need anything.
Yeah, like, no.
Quite honestly.
We do it because we want to make you happy, women. You. Because women seem to think that men don't do things for them, and the whole world is kind of built for our comfort. Air conditioning, heat, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know. It's for women. Men did it for
yeah,
women.
Yeah, we kind of like being like uncomfortable, to be honest. Like,
yeah, that's true.
If you like when I'm hunting and stuff like that, like I'm out there sweating balls, like drop, you know, freaking
hungry, can of beans only.
Yeah, like I'm fine. And in fact, I'm more than fine. Like, quite honestly, like it's so easy to please men that it takes nothing. Entertain me with a
it's
dumb.
It's actually fun for them. It's actually fun.
Yeah, it's so much easier.
Fun.
It's
yeah.
so much easier. If honestly,
they like to suffer.
I could live in a one bedroom apartment. No, I couldn't. I could live in a one. I could live in a single wide trailer out
oh,
by myself.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere, and just have land, have whatever, and then go into town, hang out with people, and then just go back home. I'm totally fine. Never need to upgrade. I'll change the world myself in the way that I seem fit. But when I've got a family,
right,
it's entirely different. My brain is not even going, dude, you're fine. Like, you don't even need to worry about this and that. I'm going, how do I make sure that I have no debt by age 40? How do I make sure that I have, $1 million in this, and how do I know that I have $10 million in expected funds for this by the time I'm 50, you know, or whatever. Like, there's so much more that I do because I want, number one, my wife to have a great life. Number two, my kids to have a better life than I did. And by better life, I don't mean an easier existence. I mean a more opportunistic existence to create a better world for everybody else.
And go above
you. Yeah, I want my ceiling to be their floor. I want them to start where I ended up at the height of whatever I'm going to be able to create in the next 30 years.
No, I definitely feel that. It's true. I think you worded it really good too. It's difficult navigating the dating world for these young people now. I don't even have any way to articulate it to people because there are so many people here in the live probably too. And confused. They're confused about what they're supposed to do. What's the right answer? Because now there's so many things that haven't even been like studied. I saw a thing with Jordan Peterson saying, which is so true. He's saying we haven't studied working together. This is the first time in this, like, not century, but this era.
Century, I guess.
That men and women are equally working together, like, on the same, you know, not obviously doing masonry work because, you know, I don't see all the women signing up for that. But, you know, anyway. But the women and men are working together in many, you know, crowded cities, things like that. And
what are the rules?
Yeah, it hasn't been studied long enough because it seems like a lot of the women are really unhappy. Like I was telling you earlier, these women that are hitting 40 or past 40 are saying, oh my gosh, why did I pick the having just perpetual boyfriends and my career over having a family? Now I'm desperately trying to find a man that will just like freaking stay with me and have a family with me. I'm making six figures and I'm miserable. And then when they're young, this is a part for young men. This is so hard for them. When these women are young, what are they saying to these young men? You're a scrub. You can't get me. You're not making six figures. I'm getting two masters in underwater basket weaving and, you know, the history of post-it notes and blah, blah. Like, you need to get on my level. So if you don't have that six figures, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they'll get with them. And then the woman goes to school and then becomes something. And then now is above the blue collar worker husband. I see a lot of that. So these poor men, these young men, what do they say? What do they do? Women are out of line, in my opinion. Women are out of line.
Well, at the end of the day, too.
The pendulum has gone the other way.
The beneficial things that me and Tina were talking about from a male's perspective, when you are a powerful woman, we do not value you. You are not high value because you make money. You're high value because you're soft and kind and different than me and loyal. That is what men look for when they're trying to figure out what they want.
They have labels on them too.
What do you think?
How about
Keeping a Man?
Keeping a Man, yeah, that one was good.
Peace. I know it sounds crazy, but he goes, you know what? I can go out with the boys, I can go wild, but if I go home, I just get food, I get massage, I can just relax, I can turn my phone off. And I know that sounds too.
I agree.
It sounds too easy, but if a man's actually living a hectic life, because you're not going to be a high value man with a calm life. Your life's hectic. It's stress. There's problems. You got idiots at the door you might have to punch. You got stuff going on, right? So the one thing he wants when he comes home, the last thing on earth when he comes home he wants is a fight or an argument or a nag over
or
something.
Or no food at the house.
It's not even about, he left the toilet seat up. Get the fuck over it.
Yeah. Right?
If you can give a man true peace of mind, true where he can just sit, chill, and turn his brain off, even for 10 minutes, I swear to God he'll always come home to you. Way to keep a man is
so
oh my god, that's so good.
What do you think as a man hearing that? That's the Andrew Tate that's going viral. That's the Fresh and Fit podcast where they bring some, you know, street thought.
Cash users so good.
I know, right?
I'm just eating all
always bring them in my little Tupperware. I should have brought the big one today.
You should have.
I even said, I was like, I never eat all of them in the bigger Tupperware. Let me take it in the small one.
That's, and here I am just smashing them like I'm at a bar.
The first day he's ever.
Because I've been drinking.
But yeah, so what do you think that's what it, oh, that's what they want. That's what a man wants is peace.
If you provide an atmosphere of peace where he can rest, if he's a go-getter like I am, if you can provide that, there is nothing else that's more desirable, because I've already got enough problems to solve in here because I'm trying to solve problems out there, that if you give me no problems to solve at home, I want to be there all the time.
Gotcha.
I want to be there near you. I want to smell your sweet smell. I want to hear your little sweet angelic voice. I want to, you know, be near you. You're nothing but a mattress to come home where I can lay my head. And if I'm trustworthy, you don't mind. You go, I know he's going to do everything he's supposed to do.
Right.
And you let me rest there.
No nagging.
Did you leave the toilet seat up? Did you leave dishes in the sink?
Right.
Did you whatever? Get out of here.
Yeah, because women do. I mean, because some people try to equate nagging to, oh, the woman's just pushing you to be your best. Well, it depends on what she's nagging you about. If she's nagging you about, like you said, the little things, but yet you've been out for 16 hours all day trying to bring home the bacon, as they say, because he left the socks on the floor and you get to stay home, maybe nagging him about that might be considered.
Well, nagging won't work anyway.
Well, it creates a lot of resentment.
Right. It creates resentment. Yeah. Like, you can't nag me to be more successful than I'm going to be. And if you do, I might do less because, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. So that's why you have to pick so choosingly.
So then what do you say? Okay, I'm really glad you said this. There was a dating coach the other day that I wanted to reply to, but I'm like, I don't know why, how to explain, but I don't think this is how it works. He literally was talking about that. He said, he's like, when your wife's nagging you, it was like, had the little emotional music in the background. When your wife's nagging you, she's just trying to push you to do better. She wants to see that you're the best man that you can be. She's not nagging you. She's pushing you to be better. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, can we back up? Because I said, no, that's...
I get enough of that shit.
Right. So so then how do you consider it unproductive in the sense that she's pushing you to do better?
Like, if you're a smart man, you know when your wife is needing you to do better. It's not like you don't know if finances are tight. It's not like you don't know if stress is high.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing what you can do, the last thing you need is for her to tell you that you're not doing what you need to do. That's not good for her. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody.
Right.
So either she trusts that you're going to come out of this thing and you're going to win by the end, or she's going to nag you to death because she's concerned, and you're going to pull your own hair out and you're going to want to be somewhere else besides near her.
Right.
Flat, straight up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, quite honestly, you should pick really choosingly, be wise when you choose, and then shut up and wait and be kind and be loving. And that doesn't mean you can't communicate your feelings of concern and stuff like that. Like, you know, that's fair. You know, you're allowed to talk about concern. But at the end of the day, you should have married somebody you trust.
I want you to click on the one that says, that's right on top of Tate Brother on Revenge After Breakup. Right there.
There is a way to get revenge on women. Every time I've heard anyone say, oh, my ex broke up with me, she cheated on me, I need revenge. That's sick-minded. That's incel level shit. The only kind of revenge that you can get on a woman is this. Say goodbye politely. Keep working hard. Increase your value as a man. Wait 3 years, 4 years, 6 years. Yeah. And wait till you are the man. And she's just now some chick, 28, 29. She's like, Tristan, you know, it should have always been you. Then you can either tell her no or break her heart again. Then you win. There is a way to get revenge.
That's his brother. I didn't know he had a brother. But yeah, they're kind of the same.
So there is a way to get revenge on women. What he was saying is be really successful.
Go out and go get some. And I kind of like that in the sense that it's kind of true. Like, now men are so, we're teaching men to be too emotional, and now they don't know how to.
And women aren't even attracted to that.
Right.
Women are not attracted to that. It's a lie.
It's, yeah, they're lying.
It's a lie. Women want an alpha
emotional,
male.
Emotional, what do they call it?
Who tells you, get out of my way, I'm accomplishing something.
Right.
Don't get in the way.
The whole emotional intelligence thing is, it was
they
a
always
term
say,
made
don't
up.
Don't follow, don't get in a parked car. What if your that? Husband's the car, get in a car that's moving fast and be quiet.
Oh, okay. If, I haven't heard
if,
it like that.
If he's parked and you're annoyed that the speed isn't what it should be, then you shouldn't have married a parked car.
Okay.
You should have married a dude going 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, and that goes back to choosing better. Choosing better. So, yeah. I mean, I like that because we have so many men that don't know how to deal with their emotional whatever it is. And then a woman breaks up with them and they want to go off themselves. They want to do awful things and instead just go to work and get better instead. And I think that is a healthy way to like get revenge.
Okay, this is a good one.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were... So too submissive.
Will he not respect me?
Do
I worry if I'm too submissive? Will he not respect me?
No. Get rid of that.
Get rid of that.
Won't respect me, crap. That's not real.
Is that real?
Really? You know what? So many women say to me, you're so... Andrew, you know what? You're so rich, but you're smart and you're actually very intelligent. And I know you'd get really bored of a robot. And I'm sitting there thinking, bitch, I wish to God you were a robot. You better shut the fuck up. We talk about star signs? Oh, yeah, I'm so glad. Tell me more about my Sagittarius rising, you idiot. I don't give a fuck. Give me a robot. All men want robots. That's all we want. Yeah. Four wives, robots, inshallah. Put the burk on.
Yep.
What are you talking about? We don't care. Two coffees. That's it. It's nice and easy. There's no such thing as too submissive. There's no such thing. I'm never going to look at a beautiful woman who does everything I say and go, you know what? You do too much of what I say. I want to go get some disagreeable bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I watched this whole entire podcast.
Did you?
Yes, I watched the whole thing like weeks ago because I was cracking up so hard. At this particular part.
Really?
This particular part, maybe go watch the whole entire thing.
I'm going to have to watch the whole thing.
It is worth it. It's really funny. Now, he goes a little too far because I don't want you to wear a burqa and stuff because that's oppressive to women. You know, he's being funny when he says that.
Yeah.
Like, put the burqa on. Like, shut up. Give me two coffees and put the burqa on. Like, he's saying that. That's an extracurricular thing. No.
And he lives
I don't agree with that. I think that's oppressive to women. Like, you know, be free. You know, do you. I'm not saying, like, go show your boobs to everybody, but, like, you don't have to wear a fucking burqa. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, right? But, like, that's seriously oppressive. And, the leftists act like they want actual freedom. But have you seen women getting beat for showing their neck in Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
Have you watched them get whipped repeatedly?
I've seen...
For talking to their cousin?
I've seen executions. Who's a male? I've seen executions because... she was rumored, and it's not based in any justice. She is rumored to have spoken to a male that was not her husband. And then I saw the video, dark web stuff.
But you brought shame, so therefore you have to die. And it's like, that's crazy, right? But
it's really sad.
What he is right about is there's no such thing as too submissive of a woman. Like, I want my wife to have a little bit of, like, opinions about things. I don't want her to just be completely blank slate. But certainly there's not a such thing as you're being too submissive. Like, nah, dude. Like,
I think she was she trying to make, because I didn't watch the podcast, but I'm thinking I know exactly what she was trying, the point she was trying to make. She was trying to make the point that this is what Cosmo magazine taught us. Don't you want someone that has an education
opinions.
Or something to talk about? You just want a woman that says, brings you your, here you go, dear, and here's a beer, and I'll keep my mouth shut and clean the kitchen. You don't want that, do you? And it's like a lot of men are kind of like, well, I really would.
Well, any man who's really going for something, who has other problems and doesn't need you to be the entertainment wheel of problems.
Right.
Is going to go, please shut up.
Right.
Please be quiet. Please be content. I don't need problems from this side of the court. I've got problems on this side of the court. Now, if you don't plan to accomplish anything in your life and you're just trying to live out your days, then a little bit of drama at home might not bother you. But when the world's falling apart, you're trying to put it back together. You don't want drama at home.
Right.
I don't need that. I got fresh hell everywhere I look. There's fresh hell. The whole world. the entire left is destroying what gender's ever meant, right? We're talking about it while we can. Right. We're in the middle of a recession. Literal globalists are taking over the world in dictator fashion, yeah. Basically explaining that you will not be able to own private property in less than 10 years from now, right? And you're talking about, you're frustrated about something that I left in the sink? Yeah. Like, do you understand what's weighing on my mind right now? Like, so yeah, this is not even a thing. It's not even a thing that you can be too submissive.
Yeah, no, I like that. I'll have to watch the whole thing.
Oh, it's good. He talks about two coffees. He doesn't ever even drink the second coffee but he wants his
wife. Is that what the two coffees thing was?
Yeah, okay. You bring two coffees, one for me to drink and one for me to look at because I might want it, I might not, but you don't know, so you got me two coffees.
Gotcha.
Right? Two coffees, right? It's just kind of the thing. Like if you are servant-hearted enough, we have to perform better. Have you ever had somebody, look, there's a reason that Jesus washed his disciples' feet.
Okay.
It demands a very specific response when you wash someone's feet.
What's that?
You went so low for me. I did not deserve this. The only response is an open-hearted vulnerability in response to you. And going, you do so much for me. Mm-hmm. I will do so much for you. Vulnerability and sacrifice begets vulnerability and sacrifice as long as the person is emotionally healthy.
Okay.
If the person's emotionally unhealthy, who knows what you're dealing with? You could have a tornado, which is why you should choose wisely.
Choose wisely, for sure. No, I agree. Wow. Do you want to? It's funny, but with choosing wisely, I think a lot of people too think that women are completely, it's always from the men. All the bad is from the men. That's what I feel like the narrative is. It's only men, only men, only men. And that women just don't do anything. And that's just not true. There's this video I want to play. Go to the one that says Jordan Peterson, women and aggression. We have aggression. We just do different things. And lately, some of them have been more devastating. That's the one.
All right, let's play this.
Look, women have to express aggression somehow unless you're willing to say that they're not aggressive. They tend not to do it physically, not to the degree men do, so they use other channels. And what other channels are there other than physical aggression if you're going to be aggressive? Well, you go after people verbally. You go after them with innuendo and gossip and reputation destruction. And that's how it works.
And just to be clear, you think that's predominantly a female modus operandi?
It isn't that I think that.
Well, I'm
it's that the
you.
Clinical literature indicates that. It isn't that I think it.
Well, I'm not interviewing the clinical literature. I'm interviewing you. What do you
well,
think?
Well, I'm a psychologist. And a scientist, and I tend to base my opinions on what I've read in the broad relevant clinical literature. I'm not making this stuff up. I studied antisocial behavior for like 15 years. I'm actually quite an expert on it. Look, women have to express aggression some.
I love Jordan Peterson, number one, because
but see how she was trying to turn it into an opinion of sorts, that it is her opinion, it is only his opinion that women gossip and use words to let out their aggression and do the damage that, you know, sometimes men just need to fight. That's what I think. Sometimes you just need to let it out and then you're okay. Well, with women, because yeah. We don't do that we destroy via verbally gossip, like as we were talking about before, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, those words destroyed his life. So women use it like that. And she was trying to turn it around and say it's an opinion. And he's saying, no, statistically, this is what happens.
Yeah, this is the way women destroy things. Because they're not going to come punch you in the face because you're going to punch them back and they'll be destroyed. So how do they do it if they're not punching?
They go and make false claims.
Yeah, they reputation destroy.
And now it's the pendulum has gone too far the other way, in my opinion, because now all a woman has to do is maybe have just a bad encounter with someone. They're salty, like a manager above them or a boss, and they're salty. They just have to tweet, felt really uncomfortable with my manager today, and kind of a SA type of innuendo. And that person is destroyed with just one tweet from her. That's all that it takes these days. That's it. And these people's lives are destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. So, yeah, I think we can be pretty dangerous. Like I said, the pendulum is too far the other way because we don't have like
all the... It went from believe no women ever and don't even listen to them to believe all women no matter what.
And they picked it up quick and ran with it. Some of
and
the
it's
ones.
Like, no.
A lot of women.
Amber Heard was literally putting her own turds out of her butt onto Johnny Depp's pillows and blanket. Like, chicks are not only good.
Oh my gosh, that was so, I can't. The amount of toxic stuff that she did, and he did too, but I listened to the entire thing every single day. Watched the entire thing. And no, man, there's something.
Yeah, it's a whole nother level with that chick, dude. And she knows it. She knows she has the power to lie, too.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the thing is, like,
she sits there regally. You see how she was sitting in court?
Even when that one reporter was like,
"Which one?
Hey, so you were wrong about all this." And she was like, the media's just spun
was
this.
I really wrong? I think because the way the jury. Yeah, she was insulting
she
the
was
jury.
She was still trying to act like she was innocent. It's like, bro.
Samantha something. Yeah.
What are you thinking? Like, you're obviously wrong. Well, so we can go to a Q&A time, I reckon, where you can ask any questions you want, Tina. And then if anybody else wants to ask questions, you can. I'll try to read them.
Yeah, I can't even read it over there. I'm so TikTok. Oh, can I watch the TikTok from here? Maybe I can put the questions up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Friends.
But do you have any questions, Tina?
Oh, do I? Oh, yeah, I feel like I've been asking the questions throughout.
No, you have. You've been doing good.
Oh, thanks. Here you go. Wait, am I here? Am I live? Oh, yeah. Ha-ha! Yep, I can see live. Cool. Perfect. So I can see any questions that come across there. But anyway, I do have a question for you. So since you studied theology, right? A lot of people somebody just brought this up recently. The thing with being able to, backhand to the wife's mouth if she talks back. Isn't that in the old? Isn't that in the Old Testament? Right? She's got a little slick there talking about your goats, like, you know.
Bitch, them my goats. You don't talk shit about Betsy like that.
Your lambs.
That bitch is my goat.
Your lambs. We need that lamb.
Well, so Christianity. So people have to understand. First off, I don't know if the Old Testament condoned striking people, women, I mean. You could stone them for things that were considered sinful, but the reason for stoning people was not because of out of losing respect or anything. No. Generally speaking, the reason that you would stone anybody or anything was because you could not go into the Ark of the Covenant and not get devoured by fire if you had sinful things in your life. So if a woman who was unclean did something, you would get devoured by fire if you stood before the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord. So you had to be super specific. But Christians are not under Old Testament Levitical laws.
That's
so just so we're clear.
Liberals try to bring up.
Is that liberals will be like, well, Leviticus also says if a woman does this, then you should stone her.
Right.
We do not follow Leviticus as Christians. You follow New Covenant theology, which means the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Your union with Jesus is because of Jesus's free gift of righteousness that you did not participate in earning for yourself, right? Versus the Old Testament, which was impossible to earn, which was the point of the whole thing, was this is hard as shit. How can anybody be righteous? There's not anybody that's righteous. No, not one. It's literally phraseology from the Bible. And the point is that one day the sun would come, and it was like, I used to say it like this. If you imagine an aquarium,
okay.
Right. And there's a reptile in there. And you as the owner of the aquarium made these rules that if the reptile steps out of line, blood must be spilt.
OK.
Blood has to be spilt in order for that reptile to be made right with me, the owner.
Okay.
If he did something wrong, blood has to be spilt. And so the reptile does. The lizard runs around, does a bunch of evil shit nonstop. And the owner reaches in, grabs the lizard with his hand, takes a blade. And then slices his own hand so his own blood is dripping all over and then lets the lizard go.
Okay.
And says, I'll take it. Right. So that's like the rules of the old covenant versus the graciousness of God. And that's the way he designed it, was so that he could show grace. So no, you cannot backhand women.
Did you see that old interview with Sean Connery? It's an old interview. And she's like, didn't you say it was okay to... hit a woman? Yes, I did. Just a little smack if she's acting. Something like that. He literally said it. If you want to talk, I can find it. I can find a YouTube
just a little
short.
Smack in the face. There's no problem.
Basically, essentially, that's what he said. Like,
no problem.
Very like,
you yes, can just yes, smack him in the face and little, then she little, gets a little mouthy in. And then all of a sudden I want my sweet tea over on the other side of the room and just slack in the face.
Yes.
So funny.
Let me see.
Not funny. Wrong, but funny.
Sean, stop being a woman. Oh my gosh.
Put it in the Discord.
Okay. Okay. Oh, it's gangster.
Yeah, that's ultimate gangster.
I forgot his answer.
I've been watching Sopranos too, so I could give you a Soprano answer. They got no problem slapping women, but I'm not about that life, and neither is Jesus.
Yeah.
There's no need to ever hit a woman, people.
Basically, she says...
Unless she's literally punching you.
Yeah.
Then, like, you can punch a woman.
Equality, okay? Equality.
Right, but, like, at the end of the day, like...
Yeah.
The only reason I would say that
is
because there has been situations in my life where somebody's going literally nuts and you're just having to be like, chill out, you know, because like they can flip out and they have like carte blanche to do that. Did you put in the Discord?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We got to see this.
One. Okay. So basically she asks, she says, what would merit a slap?
Okay, here we go.
In the circumstances and if it merits it.
Yeah. But what would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else, and women are pretty good at this, they can't leave it alone. Yeah? They don't want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again and get into a really provocative situation. Then I think it's absolutely right.
To give her a good slap.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if she gives you a good slap back?
Well, then you get into another area. I mean, then maybe she's getting to like it, and then it becomes something else. I don't know. But I think that it's a last resort. He's not going to do it because he wants to do it. Huh?
Wait till people see this interview. Are you going to get mail?
Sean Connery. He didn't get the memo. Is he dead yet?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately.
When
yes.
did he die?
I think a couple of years back. Chat might know better, but he already died. I mean, he wasn't wrong. Okay, he wasn't wrong. We do like to have the last word, and then we go. And let me tell you something. Like, we kind of do that. Like, no. I'm like, okay, are you happy? Oh, one more thing. Yeah. Like, remember that time you're like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, but I never slap somebody
for
that.
No. Yeah.
No. I just, I'm so aggressive verbally that doesn't happen.
Right.
As soon as you clap back once, I go, do you know who bought you? You know, like, are you aware of where your food came from today? You know, so it's like, there's no need for a slap. If you're ever in an office, if you ever feel like there needs to be a physical altercation between you and your spouse, if it's brief and it's like you popped him and then he's like, like, okay, maybe you're okay. Right. But if it ever is like you're literally fighting,
yeah,
you're doing something completely wrong.
Call someone.
Yeah. Call multiple people and go, hey, I am not in the right scenario here. I don't know what to do about it, but this is wrong.
Right.
You know, but like maybe like, you know, like, one very small amount of physical like altercation might be permissible. I don't even know, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Either way, get counseling.
Yeah. Either way, counseling galore.
Yeah. But it was the gangster. I mean, he was right about the behavior of a woman.
Yeah. Sometimes when women feel like they're like up on the high horse and you can't do anything about it, like they'll want to have the last word.
They do. And they go like this in men's faces and they provoke men nowadays because everybody has cameras. So we see these women really pushing
men.
Yeah,
nowadays you're right.
I mean, I really do see women that could have just said, okay, the altercation, whatever, the man just says, all right, bitch, like whatever. You can walk away and the women don't. They want more. And that's when you see it just go like, this isn't fair to men anymore because they know that you can't, they can't hit you. So I just don't think that's fair to men. Because well, what's interesting is
I wonder if anybody has identified as a female and been like,
is that an upside down car?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, good Lord.
I just wonder if anybody identifies. Oh, look, it's not even saying I'm live.
No.
It's not even saying it.
Let me see.
Now it is. We're listening to ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's interesting is I wonder if anybody has
identified that's the Instagram as a feed. Well, anyway, so yeah, I think women take advantage of it, in my opinion.
You're probably not wrong. There is those women out there. Are you coming fishing tomorrow night, by the way?
No, I don't think so. I'll explain it after we
get it. It's all good. Yeah. We've been going for an hour and 22 minutes. This is fun,
really?
Though.
Really? Yeah, this is a good life.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, obviously, traditional gender roles have been thrown out the window, so everybody's just trying to figure out how the world works. At this point, dude, these cashews,
they're just plain cashews. They're just salted cashews.
I know, but something about salt. I love salt.
You might be low on sodium.
No, I doubt that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, daddy never low on sodium.
Maybe potassium.
Never. Maybe I'm just a fatty who likes food.
Well,
I don't know what it is about me. If you gave me a plate of brownies or a plate of like steak, I'm going to destroy that plate of steak. I'm just not interested in sweets generally.
Really?
Not interested. I'll take two bites.
I have to have something like sweet at the end of the night. Always.
Like what? What's your thing?
Oh my gosh. It depends. Like I do like a keto cheesecake or I'll just take Lily's chocolate chips. They're like a keto friendly chocolate chip. Sometimes if I don't feel like making anything, just put a handful of they're baking chips. They're not meant to be candies. They do have candies, but they're more expensive. So I get the little bag of chocolate chips you're supposed to put in cookies. And I just like take out handfuls as my dessert.
My wife does that.
Yep. Love it. Always got to have something sweet at the end of the night. After the steak.
I've been getting the Trader Joe's. You had good steak the other night. The rice and beans you made were straight fire.
From scratch.
Look at her.
It's them hard beans that don't come in the can.
Yeah, she had to actually make them the right way for her man.
I grew them.
Al was a happy fella.
Right.
Al's her husband.
I'm out there like plowing. Growing. Doing that submissive shit. Yeah.
Doing that submissive shit. That's okay. He'll pay me in a horse one day. He'll give me a horse one day.
Well, isn't it funny? Like, thinking about that, remember, like, back in the day, too, like, people traded goats and cows for daughters? You can marry my daughter, but you need
to. You can have my daughter, but you have to produce for me what her is her equal to somebody, a dowry.
That was when we were a little bit more, but it's kind of back to what we were talking about. You are prized to be won from the father. No, she's protected. She ain't been on the street, so you need to pay for this one.
I support that. A dowry or like something where you have to earn the right to, you don't get to just ask because you're the first one that freaking asked. That's stupid.
Do you think that rings are diamonds and jewels? Do you think that that's like, I've read a thing that it's like a conspiracy theory to get us like to buy this stuff, but it's literally like worth nothing. Like it's just like freaking.
Yeah, I know that's true. Diamonds are just controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all they did was take the dowry from the father and give it to business.
To the businesses. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, wait, is that the buying price?
Yeah, I used to have to give $5,000 to your dad. Now I got to give $5,000 to your hand and $15,000 to a wedding.
Jared. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the wedding. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Gosh, it's such a money-making industry. That's why they just want you to do it quick. Spend your whole life single, spending all that money on Gucci bags, and then they want you to hurry up and get married quick at the end of your life and make bad choices so that you'll have multiple marriages so that they can cash in on all of them. Oh, man. You could go down a rabbit hole
at the end of the day, the government and big business is getting in the way of traditional values of family.
Wow.
Dude, I ate all your cashews.
I know.
We've been going for an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah, you want to...
I guess
sign
we should
off?
Wrap
yeah.
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, it's been a great conversation tonight. This is super low key. Not a lot of pressure this evening. Hope you guys had a good time. Hope you learned something. Tina the Beautiful.
Well, thank you for coming. Why don't you put your... I want to hear your comment below. I want an opinion on I guess the gender roles. Are we ever going to get back to traditional gender roles? I don't think so. That I'm going to call my opinion is no. We are going to have to move forward with this modernized. It's going to take a long time, let's just say, because now too many women are in the workforce, the grinding cogs of the economy. They can't all of a sudden move back to traditional. That's what I'm calling. So I don't think we can ever get back. But what do you guys think?
Here, I'll play it. There you go.
All right. Have a good night.
You guys have a good night. Love y'all. We'll be right back.